Right, well, here we are, the 5th of July. Amazing. And only a couple of weeks, I'll let you know, a couple of weeks, and we'll be back to our 10 o'clock Sunday morning. So rather exciting. But welcome this morning, this week and next week. We'll be tuning in like this, and then we'll be able to meet together, and who knows what arrangements will have changed in that time. They just seem to change every week. They change more frequently. Almost every day something new comes out. So today we've got Lauren and Jamie taking part, and also David. So Lauren's going to lead us in prayer.
God, you are creator of the universe, the galaxies, planets and ecosystems. You hold the world and all that is in it together. And still you are mindful of us in our small lives. We praise you, God, creator. You are holy, more pure than the cleanest water we've ever drunk, without a single blemish or ugly spot. And still you pursue us, though we are less than dirt and mud. We praise you, Holy One. God, you are merciful. You are kind, just and gentle. You love deeply and truly. And you choose to lavish that love on us, though we don't deserve it. And honestly, we barely comprehend it. We praise you, Father. Lord God, we give you thanks that no building can house you fully and no place of worship can contain your majesty. Teach us by our deeds of peace and justice and joyful celebration to erect altars in the world so that when some other soul comes across them, they will see that you are indeed present everywhere. Amen.
Now, we did have a series, and we looked at some of the situations around the world with mission. And our first song today is brought to us by a group from Africa. So it's actually quite a joyful song. It's a song that we know, I think, the days of Elijah. So you can actually stand and dance around to this, because normally African folk don't just stand still. If we were in the church and we had Leslie and a couple of others, they wouldn't be able to. But it's these are the days of Elijah. And I wonder if when we're released, as it were, from the limits that we've had, whether we'll say, these are the days of declaring the word of the Lord, days of Elijah, days of freedom, days of Ezekiel and dry bones becoming as flesh. So you've got words there on the screen and in your notes. So please join in, and wherever you are this morning, and sing Days of Elijah with our African friends.
Days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And Lord, these are days of great trial, of famine and darkness and sword. Still we are the voice in the desert, crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice, it's a hero of jubilee. Out of Zion's hill, salvation comes. are the days of Ezekiel, the dry bones becoming as flesh. And these are the days of your servant David, rebuilding a temple of praise. And these are the days of the harvest, the fields are as white in the world. And we are the laborers in your vineyard, declaring the word of the Lord. Behold, he comes riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice. It's the year of Jubilee. Out of Zion's hill, salvation comes. There's no God like Jehovah, 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 there's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. Behold, he comes riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice. It's a year of Jubilee. Out of Zion's hill, salvation comes. Behold, he comes riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice. It's the year of Jubilee. Out of Zion's hill, salvation comes. Behold, he comes riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice. It's the year of Jubilee.
You've got that recorded now, so any time during the week you can put it on, and while you're doing the housework or washing the car or whatever, you can have it on full volume and just dance around and sing and join in. There's no God like Jehovah, and if you picked up in that last bit, he is alive. How wonderful that is. Now, friends, just a couple of things, but to particularly let you know, on last week's news sheet there was a message that please pray about our reopening, and the 19th, in 2 weeks' time, 10 o'clock Sunday morning, will be reopening. Now, in your notices today, there's a special notice that says information about reopening. Yes, it's a whole page, but please, we need to adhere to those instructions. So please read them and know what they say. And if you could be here just a little bit earlier, perhaps, than you normally are on that Sunday morning, because we have to check who's here, everyone has to sanitise their hands, and then you've got to find a spot that's not too close to someone else. So We want to start on 10 o'clock. We're supposed to have activities that fit within a two-hour program. So we'd like people to make sure that they're here in plenty of time. The first week should be a communion Sunday, and we're hoping we can work it that way because we have to keep everything clean and untouched almost by human hands. We probably won't have morning tea the first week. We'll probably start that the week after if we can work out our arrangements. But please, please, just make sure that you read that information and follow it through. Other things that have been mentioned, keep praying for our Bible College students. And I know that for some of those students who are studying interstate, I don't think it affects Daniel, but for other students, they're not allowed to travel, of course. And I'm well aware that for some of you with family or friends overseas or interstate, I don't know if any of you have got invites to weddings or special occasions and you're not able to travel interstate, but compared with some of the states, I think we are going so very, very well. And I hope that last week's newsletter, under the heading of Christianity Growing Faster Than at Any Time in History Except in the West, was a great, great encouragement, because I think we often feel, oh, are we on the back foot? Are we actually falling apart? Are we achieving anything? But just amazing. And in a week or so, we'll have a letter from Leslie as well, back in Zambia, and she is saying that in that country, particularly in her church, they have been praying and fasting, and it's just been wonderful what has happened, particularly around her church and even in that country. And she puts it down to the praying and the fasting of the Christian church. So could be said that in the West we're a bit slack, and we're reaping the consequence of being slack. So, but read that from last week. If you skipped over it, just please go back and have a look. And also remember Westcare. We're getting notices almost every week and information to say, you know, hundreds of percent, as it were, have been the increase of people asking for food or for help. In one of the Anglicare situations, pardon me, on the news the other night, requests had gone up 1,500%. So that's 15 times the requests for food and help. So please just be aware of that. Maybe on the 19th when we open up, if you've got an extra something or other in the pantry that you can bring or buy, please, please do that. Now, we've had Lauren leading us in prayer, and now Jamie's going to lead us. Thanks, Jamie.
Dear Heavenly Father, I want to pray for our community of Lighthouse. I want to pray for the people who have been affected by this virus. And I want to pray that, you know, people who have been going through really difficult times. I think we've all been going through difficult times in some way or another. But, just pray for the people who have been really affected by isolation during this time, that, you know, with restrictions starting to ease, we can start, you know, meeting again as a community, going over to people's houses, just spending time together as a fellowship. Pray that this, you know, will all happen soon, and our spirits will be lifted by being able to meet again. I also want to pray for the people and families who have been affected financially during this time. Maybe businesses have been affected, or people have lost jobs, or there's been unsure about, you know, their future job prospects, etc. Just pray that, ultimately you're in control, and you know, you're the one to look to, and that you know, these difficulties will pass, and you know, you'll always be there. I also want to pray for and also praise that, you know, South Australia is doing really well in regards to containing this virus. And we pray and we think about the rest of Australia, and certainly the rest of the world, who are still going through really difficult days and weeks and months ahead. So yeah, we just pray that, you know, you'll continue to have your hand in this, that you'll be, you know, aiding the scientists who are working on the vaccine, and then that can come about quickly, and we can start moving back to some normality in the world. Yeah, and the people will stop dying due to this virus. Yeah, so just want to praise you that we as a community can begin to get together again soon. We hope that, yeah, that will really lift the spirits of Lighthouse, and that we can, yeah, see our friends, see our brothers and sisters in Christ. No matter how it looks with the new social distancing rules, just that, yeah, we'll be able to spend time together again. Yeah, so I just want to thank you for providing us, you know, with comfort and peace during these difficult times, and pray that that will continue. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our own group here at Lighthouse, now going to lead us in the singing of that lovely song, What a Beautiful Name. It's there for you to join in if you'd like to.
Thank you.
silence the blows of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring, the praise of your glory, for you are raised to life again. You have no rival, you have no equal.
In your notes today, there's a lovely little chorus, Abba Father. It's just a simple little chorus. David's going to lead us in communion. And when there's the pause for the taking of bread and the cup, you might just reflect on that Abba Father, because, again, a couple of our ladies are going to just play that so that you'll be able to meditate and think. But thanks, David.
Good morning. As I was preparing for communion, I was reflecting on the fact that COVID-19 has created fear and doubts and uncertainty, maybe fear of getting sick, maybe fear of death, just fear of the whole situation. And I was thinking that in looking at communion, one of the things that strongly stands out to me is that God loves us all, and that love hasn't changed. It's not affected by this in any way, shape or form. And that I want you to take great comfort in that and to reflect upon it. Because God's love is the beginning and the end of all love. The salvation that we know through Jesus' sacrifice is the best example of his love for us. And that we have an ability to love others and love ourselves and our community because of the salvation and the sacrifice that Jesus has made for us. And Jesus calls us to love our neighbours, and he also calls us to love our enemies. This love is quite different to any love, I suspect, that you will hear in our community. We focus on other forms of love, but these things are not really emphasised because it's really only for Christians. It's really only for God's people who have been redeemed, and it's only for those that know and understand God. And that God wants us to trust in his love and to rest in his love as well. Because as I said before, it doesn't change. God promises that nothing will affect it. So even our current times that we're going through in the last 5 months hasn't changed it at all. I suspect that some of us have been changed, and I suspect that some of us have had some different thoughts and feelings than what we thought that the year might bring. But that we can trust in God's love. And so, as we see Jesus' example of giving his body and his blood and his life to save us from our sins, we can see that that is his ultimate sacrifice to show us his love. So I'll just pray now for communion, and then afterwards please take the elements in your own time. We thank you, Father, that you love us all. We thank you that you sent Jesus, and you specifically sent him to die on the cross to give us, to sacrifice his body and to have his blood shed so that we will be redeemed and that we will have salvation and that we can become part of your family, that we can experience your love fully, and that we can share our love with others, and we can trust and rest in that love, and that that love never changes and overcomes all of our fears and doubts and everything that we are going through in our lives on a day-to-day basis. And for that we thank you from the bottom of our hearts, and we love you too. Amen.
Our Bible reading today comes from John chapter 8, starting at verse 31. So find your Bible, open it please, and then Jamie's going to read those verses to us. Thanks, Jamie.
Today's reading is from John chapter 8, verses 31 to 47. Dispute over whose children Jesus' opponents are. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?" Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, yet you are looking for a way to kill me because you have no room for my word. I am telling you what I have seen in the Father's presence, and you are doing what you have heard from your father." "Abraham is our father," they answered. "If you were Abraham's children," said Jesus, "then you would do what Abraham did. As it is, you are looking for a way to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do such things. You are doing the works of your own father." "We are not illegitimate children," they protested. "The only father we have is God himself." Jesus said to them,
If God were your father, you would love me, for I have come here from God. I have not come on my own. God sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? If I am telling the truth, why don't you believe me? Whoever belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is because you do not belong to God.
Thanks, Jamie. Now, I've called today, What Now? What Now? Because restrictions are being lifted in terms of the virus, and the question is, what happens now? I hope that we don't go back to what we've been. I was talking to a friend of mine this morning who is pastor of a large church out north, and they opened their church last week. They had 140 people turn up, and they had 100 people still watching on live streaming, on video. And he said, "This isn't right, Colin. I don't want live streaming to be an alternative to people meeting together. I want people to come together." But maybe that's not going to be the case. Maybe we've moved into a whole new era with the church. Maybe live streaming is going to be part of how we meet in the future or how we operate. So that those of us who have grown up or been part of the assembling church and coming together Sunday morning, maybe that's going to be part of the thing of the past. I hope not either, because the physical contact is so wonderful, just being together. But the whole of society has changed. Another friend who belongs to a Bible study group that Helen runs said to her, "I didn't realise what people in our area did on a Sunday morning. But being home and watching or listening, then she could look out the window or go out into the street and see what the so-called normal people were doing on a Sunday morning." And I remember when I was at Trinity Baptist, one Sunday morning we met and we prayed, and then those who wanted to went walking around the streets for half an hour. And as they walked, they just observed what people were doing and talked to people if people were interested in talking, and came back and said, "You know, people were doing all of these other things on a Sunday morning. They all think we're weird, all meeting on a Sunday, because they're all doing a heap of other things." So, friends, what is it going to be like? I'm not sure. And how is it going to operate? I don't know. But things won't be the same. That's why I chose that first song. These are the days of Elijah. These are the days that have never been before, perhaps. The word of God being shared. Dry bones becoming alive. And I wonder, in the time that we've had, 3, 4, 5 months of difference, what difference it's done to us. Has it made us different? Has it changed us? Has it given us a rethink on situations? I'm not sure. Now, in the section that Jamie read to us, it talks about being free. If you continue in my word, you are my disciples, you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. So, hopefully, we're going to find a new release. We're going to be free from some of the restrictions in another couple of weeks. And how is that going to operate? And how truthful are we really? How truthful and how free are we really? Now, it may seem a bit gimmicky that in your notes you've got seven, and I know in the Bible seven can be a magical sort of number, and each of the words I've got down start with F, and I've just done that sort of as a 2 weeks before we come back together. So do we need to just think through a few things? Am I going to come back as a different person? Because church might be different, or the way we celebrate might be different. What we do might be completely different. I don't know. But the truth liberates. The problem with these people speaking with Jesus was said, we belong to Abraham. We're okay. And Jesus is saying, hang on a minute. There's a new truth. The revelation from Abraham is now me. Jesus, I'm the fulfillment. I'm the faith. And they're saying, we stick with Abraham. We stick with what he did. And Jesus is saying, no, you don't. You've got it all confused. And I want to say, have we got it confused? Are we really free in Jesus? Have we been set free in him? A new era for the church. I hope that for Lighthouse and for H21, whatever they do or how they link, I hope that it is an era of dry bones coming alive. I hope that we are labourers bringing in people to Jesus, not just to the church. That'd be great. But really bringing people to Jesus. A whole new era. I wonder if the virus, as horrible as it is, has actually shaken up people. I wonder if it's made people think, what's going on? Where is God in all of this? Is there a remedy? Who knows what's going on? But friends, we need to be ready for whatever God brings out of this. Now, I don't believe God's created it to frighten people, but like lots of situations in the world, out of it can come some wonderful, wonderful things. So, just quickly these points, and what I'd like you to do is what I'd like to do for myself, is to just put this in a spot and then just use it as a bit of a checklist. How does this fit in with the freedom that I have in Jesus because I know the truth? So the facts. There are lots of things that we know. You know, it's often said that Christians have 5 years more knowledge than they put into practice. Now, I think they've probably got more. I think we've probably got a lot more knowledge than we put into practice. But what are the facts? Our old self was crucified. I've got there in Romans 6:6. The whole of Romans 6 has got some terrific words of knowledge, things that we know. Now, last week we had those three men talking, and we heard from Frank, from Isaiah, that God is not an idol made of silver and gold. How wonderful is that? We know that. And then we heard from Brian that Jesus is the revelation from Colossians. We know that. And then we heard from Peter. And what did he say about Abraham from Genesis? That God leads us and guides us, but he asks us, think about the promises of God. So there are lots of things that we know, friends, that can set us free. God is alive. God has come to us in Jesus. God gives us promises. And that's all wonderful. So the truth sets us free. These are things that are true. Sometimes the truth is horrible. It's not pleasant. But I think when we know the truth, then there's a freedom in it. Not everyone faces truth. The story is told of the man who comes home from a conference a couple of days early, comes into his house and realises that things aren't like they should be. His wife's having a relationship with his best friend. So does he cause a stir and confront them, or no? He leaves, and 2 days later, when he was supposed to come back, he comes back. Now, the wife and the lover know the truth. They're involved in a relationship. The husband now knows the truth, but the parties don't know that the others know. So what a tangle that makes. The mate involved in the relationship with the wife, well, now the husband and the mate, that friendship can't quite be the same. The wife and the husband, their relationship can't be the same until there's some sort of explosion and the truth is faced. And friends, it's a bit the same with us. Sometimes there needs to be an explosion and a confrontation with truth. I don't mean we confront other people, but I mean God needs to often confront us with truth, and we need to respond to that. And sometimes it is like an explosion. We need to be open to that. What about our feelings? This is the commandment I've got there from 1 John, to believe in the name of Jesus and to love one another. Feelings. How often have people said to you, you mustn't feel like that? Well, we can't always help the way we feel, because we react in certain ways to situations. And we do have feelings. We're people who are made with feelings. And this is how it is. But sometimes our feelings respond to an immediate situation, an instant reaction, and we need to be careful. But there are certain things that God says to us. He says to love. David reminded us of that in communion. To forgive. Now, we don't always want to forgive. We don't always feel like forgiving, particularly if we've been hurt by someone else. But I don't think God says forgive and forget necessarily, nor does he say ignore how you feel. But we can have an attitude or a will of forgiveness and of love. And I think this is what God says to us here. Please, please know certain facts, and then I'm love. This is God, I'm love. So if you're prepared to love, even override a feeling, if you're prepared to forgive, I'm with you in that forgiveness. So friends, maybe as we come back together, the time has given you time to, the time away has given time to think about, is there anyone in the congregation that I just need to pray for forgiveness for? And please, don't go up to someone on the first morning and say, I forgive you for what you did to me, because that's not helpful at all. You need to deal with the situation. So, overcome your feelings. Now, what about our faults? If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves. So, we have all got faults. One of the ladies at the last church I was at, she was not the easiest lady, and she used to say, God hasn't finished with me yet. Well, I think we all knew that, that God hadn't finished with her. But the question for us is not her, but us. And it's not whether God has finished, but have we allowed and are we allowing God to work on us and to forgive us, to deal with us and to keep working on our faults. During the week, we finally took out an old lemon tree that we had. And when I say old, it wasn't all that big. It was only about as tall as I am. But it had been in the garden for a long time, and it had been a bit special, really. And we'd hesitated, and we'd pruned it, and we'd fertilised it, and we'd sprayed it. And this year there was one lemon split on it. And I said, Talon, I think this is it. We're sick of it. So out it came, and when I cut the trunk, there were about six borer holes in the trunk. And when I looked down the trunk, I could see right down towards the base three little borer holes. So I was well aware that a borer had been having a great time for a long time. It can be the same with us with faults, can't it? That the borer can be having a great time for a long time unless we deal with it in a stubborn and final way. The lemon tree had to come out. And sometimes things have to be dealt with fairly dramatically in our lives if we are going to achieve anything for God. The wonderful thing is, of course, that God's prepared to work with us. And that's why the next thing says, or the next line says, forgiveness. If we confess, 1 John 1:9, if we confess, God is faithful and faithful to forgive. You remember Peter, don't you? I don't know whether he had a grudge against someone, but remember he said to Jesus, how many times do I really have to forgive? And Jesus said, 70 times 7. I wonder what Peter really thought after that. 7 times 7. Do I really? By that time, of course, I've forgotten. Forgiveness is a strange thing, isn't it? Because if we don't forgive, what happens to us? Well, it often leads to sickness of all sorts. It often leads to division amongst people. And it, of course, allows Satan to take over. So we need, and if we've been forgiven by God, of course, we need to forgive. We're forgiven because we believe in Jesus. And he forgives us if we confess our sins. Remember last week we were reminded by Peter, that is Peter McDonough, that sometimes God's promise has a condition. And that's the condition. If we confess, God then is faithful. What does he do with unconfessed sin? Well, he can't do anything, can he? What can he... Because he can't deal with it. If we're not prepared to own it, God can't deal with it. So it becomes a real problem. At one church we were at, within the first couple of weeks, one of the men, around 60, said to me, I will never forgive my mother. Right. And he would from time to time repeat that. I will never forgive my mother. And he told me what it was. She hadn't been happy that he'd become a Christian and that his wife was a Christian. Now, I would have thought, well, unfortunately, that's how your mum is and that's it. But the sad thing to me as I watched that couple was that they really became more bitter and more entrenched in their lack of forgiveness, and it affected their family. They'd only been able to have one child, and I often wondered if that was because there was such an anger and a resentment and a lack of forgiveness that somehow it affected or filled the whole of their life. Friends, God's forgiven us. So let's freely forgive other people. And let's think of it in terms of eternity. And let's think of it in terms of our own health. Because often if we don't forgive someone, it only affects us. it often doesn't affect the other person. Sometimes they don't even know. So, forgiveness. Let's come back. Back to church. Well, back to here with that. Now, what about fear? Perfect love casts out fear. That's love for God. What does fear do? It cripples us. It cripples people. It said 90% of the things we fear never occur. And I just drove down Sturt, and at the Church of Christ, there's a notice there that says, hope overcomes fear. Hope overcomes fear. So, what are we fearing at the moment? Well, I guess if you live in Hong Kong, you've got a fear there because of the situation with the Chinese. The whole virus thing. If you live in some countries, you must think, is this ever going to stop? If you're in Brazil, or even if you're in the USA, you might be thinking, is this ever going to stop? How is the health system ever going to cope? Now, I don't know what family fears you might have, but Jamie prayed for a number of things that the virus could be affecting: income, work, family, and all of those can be fears too. Now, I don't think that lessens, and I don't think we say, oh, because we trust in God, righto, we're not fearful. Of course, there's a reaction, there's a concern, there's a fear. Where will this lead? But God is in charge of the world. And sometimes, a bit like when Lazarus came out of the grave and Mary and Martha were there, and Lazarus came out and he was all wrapped up with his grave clothes, Jesus said, unbind him. And sometimes we need to be unbound, or to have the fear wound off, so that we can live as free and liberated people. The truth is, God is in control. One of the sad things is when we don't forgive or care for ourselves, and so we become fearful. Has God really forgiven me? Has God really done this? Is God really in charge? Well, yes, because point one is fact. God is in charge. So we need to put these things into perspective. And then what about our family? Well, every family's different. Each is unique. And depending whether you're a single person, a married person, a divorced person, whoever you might be, we're all part of bits and pieces of families. So what's the challenge to us? Well, the challenge to us is that if we have been set free in Jesus with the truth, then our desire is that the family know the truth, that our family come into that truth as well. So I'm free as a Christian. I know the truth. What do I want to do for my family? Well, I want to live in peace with everyone. And that's what the Bible says. As much as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Now, I don't think that means that you just allow everything to happen and, oh no, you don't challenge anything. But there's a way. There's a way of getting on with people. And there's a way of living at peace with the members of your family. Now, I know there are some grumpy relatives and all those dreadful stories about mother-in-laws and all the rest of it. But as much as it depends upon us, it's interesting how God often puts it back to us, not to them, but to us. So as much as it depends upon you, as much as it depends upon me, live at peace. Sometimes we need to think through a situation. And my wife is often good at saying, particularly when you hear of a horrible story or of someone doing something dreadful, she'll often say, I wonder what their background really was. Why have they turned out like this? And, you know, then they've done this horrible thing. And sometimes we're quick to judge. We need to live at peace. And sometimes we need to get to know people a little better and understand their story. So what do we need to do? Well, sometimes we need to think carefully. Often we need to keep our mouth shut, but we need to think carefully. Sometimes we need to apologise, as much as it depends upon me, yes, and sometimes we need to sort it out. We need to be careful. I'm not saying that we barge in, but I am saying live at peace, don't blame, think carefully. And then the last thing that I've got there is simply that God requires of us a faithfulness or a faith, a trust in him. See that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you will remain in the Father and in the Son. And this is what he has promised, even to eternal life. Well done, good and faithful servant. If we're faithful in little, we will be faithful in much. Well done. Now we find the people aren't faithful. I told the story of the husband and wife situation. And you all know stories of people who are not faithful in relationship. You know, there's a bit of a joke around that the more the wedding costs, the shorter the marriage lasts. And which is rather sad. You know, it's just so sad that these things happen. People make a commitment here in the church to love this man, love this woman forever and ever. That's it. And I guess some of you have probably seen people baptised in that baptistry or baptised in this church who are no longer following their faith. So the encouragement, or the seventh F, is to be faithful. We've been set free. We're into a new era. A new era. And who knows what's going to happen. But wouldn't it be great if the church was chock-a-block with people who have come to know Jesus? I don't mean people who've come from other churches. That's okay. But wouldn't it be good if as a result of our living lives that are free in Jesus, living truthful lives, the people came to know him? How wonderful. Wonderful if that back room was filled with people and the church was filled. Reading some of the history of this church, I heard that at one stage they thought they might have to hire the Brighton Town Hall for services. I think that's amazing. But wouldn't that be wonderful? Wonderful. So friends, what we want from being set free in Jesus is that other people know him. Not that we cling on to it, but there's a liberality. These people, followers of Abraham, they said, we're Jewish. Huh, we're all right. And Jesus basically said, no, you're not. I have come to bring a very different freedom. We need to live as free people. Let's pray. Our Lord and our God, we thank you that Jesus didn't come to bring bondage to law or ritual or habit, but he came to bring a freedom that would liberate each one of us, that we might be your children, living, yes, as individuals, living with the personality that you've given us, living with the joy of being free. There's a sense in which the virus has brought a bit of a bondage and a limit, but not the limit that other places have known. So we thank you and we pray that we might appreciate the freedom that we have. And we open our hearts that we might bring that freedom to other people, for not like the Jewish people of Abraham's time or these people who spoke to Jesus, we are not people who cling to a privileged position, but we know we are forgiven people and we want to share that forgiveness and that hope. So send us out to do that, we pray, through Jesus, who is our Lord and our Saviour. Amen. Now, the beautiful song that is going to be the final song is a song that says, "He knows my name. I have a maker. He formed my heart even before time began. He knows my name." Thank you, our Father, that you know each one of us by name and you love us and care for us. We thank you through Jesus. Amen.